This is the Inferno Podcast. It's the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Griffin. It is Season 2, Episode 2 here, and we're going to talk a little soccer, a lot of soccer, actually, on today's show. Today's episode rundown is brought to you by Legacy Credit Union. It is the official credit union of UAB Athletics. So soccer season starts. We talk about football, the Americanized football. Well, this is obviously the European version of football, but it starts coming up. We're going to have our guest, our Coach's Corner with David Lilly, the newish coach of UAB. He's been here a year, but still new to UAB land. And our Blazer of the Week, Ivan Jolivet, a midfielder, a graduate student who has brought some winning ways to the men's soccer team as they've seen some tremendous growth over the last year. So we'll talk to them about that on the rundown. Now, as always, you can follow us on YouTube and social media at all the listings here. Be sure you like and subscribe. You hear that a lot. It really helps out the UAB Athletic Department to like and subscribe and ring the bell for notifications when you do that so you don't miss any podcast on whichever medium that you choose to use. So be sure you do that for us as well. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back and talk a little soccer here on the Inferno Podcast. Stay with us.
Brent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Griffin, and right now, Coach's Corner, one of my favorite segments, where we get to talk to the coach, get to know them a little bit, what they do on the field, and their personality a little bit. And today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. And today, we're talking to David Lilly, the new UAB men's soccer coach. Of course, you've been here a year, but still new to us. So, David, how you doing?
We're doing well. We're just two games into preseason. Had a second game last night and got a good night's sleep. So, we're doing well.
Doing well.
Thanks for having us.
We got to talk about the accent so people know, because they're going to wonder if I don't ask you right off the top of the bat. So, tell us about your background, where you're from.
Yeah, from Scotland. Came over to America when I was 17. Played college soccer for 4 years and played a little bit after, but got into coaching pretty quickly. So been in America over 20 years now, spent half my life in America, but still got a little bit of the Scottish accent.
Do you, what was the thinking on coming to America?
You reach a point in your career where you want to continue studying, you want to get a degree, but you also have ambitions of trying to play professionally, and wasn't willing to give up either one of those things. And the US has a really unique opportunity where you can get your degree and you can keep trying to play at the pro level, even if it is 3-4 years later, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting to me that you got to do that, and you've got your ambition of going to play, but you've also got the backup of having a good degree as well.
Yeah, which you did, played for Carolina, and mm-hmm. what, 2 or 3 years of professional?
Yeah,
right?
Slightly less than that. And,
yeah,
then,
okay.
And then went back home for a bit, and then decided it would probably be best to start a coaching career after that pretty early on.
Because you didn't want to work, right?
No.
I mean,
what probably wasn't good enough to get where I needed to go soccer-wise either. So at least I was able to realize that at an early age.
So you got to love it if you want to be a coach. So tell me that thinking. And then you've got to also, I think, have an inner confidence to go, I think I would be good at that as well. So what were you thinking?
I'd be lying if I said that was the the goal all along. I think coming over here and spending 4 years in America, getting my degree, and then getting an experience of what it was like at the next level, I think I just realized how much I loved college soccer. Mm-hmm. Really, I had the best 4 years of my life in college soccer, really, really enjoyed it, and just wanted to get back into it. I think it's a really unique age group you work with that they're old enough where they've got some good foundations under the belt, but they're young enough to where they've still got goals to achieve, and that was a really nice area for me to be in. So, yeah, that's why I'm still in it.
So let's go through the journey a little bit. You start NAIA level, mm-hmm. which is natural, right?
Yep.
Breaking into coaching.
Yep.
Assistant coach.
Yep.
You end up at East Tennessee State in the yep. Southern Conference.
Yep.
Did well there, I think a first and a second.
Yep.
Then this job. So the ascension has been pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Fairly quick. Maybe not to you.
Yeah, not to me. But I guess since I became a head coach, I did 4 years at Milligan and the NAIA. And mm-hmm. then it only ended up being 2 years at East Tennessee State before I came here. So that felt quick.
Yeah.
But there was already a really good foundation in place at East Tennessee State, and we were able to do pretty well early
yeah.
on. So that led us to UAB.
So, I mean, so that's Division I to Division I,
yeah.
and not crazy difference in the level.
Yeah.
So what made UAB the right place?
I think the conference that UAB competes in is obviously a very, very tough conference, and the level of competition, it's the SOCOM is very, very good and a very tough conference. A lot of good teams in there, but the American it's a bit of a step up in terms of the teams you play on a weekly basis. And I know this program has it's got a legacy of doing really well at the national stage and competing for championships at the highest level. So thought, why not try
yeah.
it out? We came down and visited with the family, loved the area, and all the pieces came together, and we're just trying to see if we can take it forward.
Yeah, and so far he's doing that, because when David got here, for folks listening in, October 14th is etched into UAB soccer fans' memories, because that was before you got here. The last win, October 14th, 2022, you get a win last year in your first year.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk about that, what did you find when you got here? From facilities to the culture and everything, you know?
Yeah, well, usually, I'm usually getting a job because something hasn't gone quite right. I mean, that's just the cycles.
Yeah.
Things go up and down. And each job I've got is because that's why the opportunity's there. So it was the same with UAB. What I found when I first got here, facilities-wise, we're very blessed. There's a lot of great facilities here at UAB, a lot of good people. There was a core group of guys that were desperate to succeed, very annoyed at what had happened, and just wanted help, wanted direction, and that's something we've been able to do. Some of the staff that have helped us in previous jobs, we've been able to kind of get some momentum going, and the guys have bought in. The returners that are here this year, they're really bought in. We've got a year under our belt now, just over a year under our belt. They're really bought in, and we've been able to bring in some new guys that want to win as well, and we're just taking it a step at a time, trying to change the culture as best we can. But I think that was probably it. They just needed a little bit of direction, a little bit of help, and steer the culture in the right direction.
So it sounds like you didn't just come in and get 12 new guys or 15 new guys.
No,
you kept some. Of course, you're going to bring some new in, but it wasn't a massive overhaul.
No, there's been some turnover. There was some good things. I know it doesn't always seem that way. There was some good things happening, some good work done, and there's some guys that wanted to be successful. So there's no doubt it's not just the return the newcomers that have helped us.
Yeah.
It's been a collaborative effort, and there's a foundation here. So we're just trying to build on it as best we can.
Was there a lack of confidence, or can you put your finger on what it was? Or maybe it was different with each individual?
You know, when you've not been on the winning side for a little bit, that can really affect your confidence and your self-belief a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit fearful of making mistakes and fearful for the same things to happen again. It can be a difficult cycle to get out of when you're not feeling confident. So I think it was more so about trying to adjust the mindset a little
yeah.
bit. And last year, I think we did a good job being more difficult to beat. I think you'll see that in a little bit of the results. Some ties there, some wins there. I think we did a good job competing better. And this year we're trying to get on the front foot a little bit and see if we can do a little bit more than that. And it takes time.
David Littler, I guess, the head men's soccer coach. I don't think I'm a soccer aficionado, but I think what you just said, to play this game, you do have to be free mentally a little bit? Obviously, you know what you're doing. You've got plays. You've got responsibilities. But is there truth to that a little bit?
No, there is.
You can't be worried about what you were just talking about.
No, that's it. There's obviously got to be a structure in place. And I think that's something we've tried to do with the team, is create an identity that we all, and a vision for the program that we all buy into, we all believe in. And then within that, if everyone understands the principles, obviously there's freedom within that to express yourself. And we got some good players on the team this year that like to express themselves, and they're competitive. And this is very much a collaborative effort. It's not just the coaches telling people what to do. We've kind of established these guidelines together. And the guys, hopefully now after a year, year and a half, understand what's expected, and they're willing to work for it.
Well, it's amazing. Again, 0-11 in 2023, and that's so long to even get a win before that, even in 2022, as we pointed out. Then last year, your first year, 4-6-5. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of joking as we were getting ready for the podcast. People might look at it and immediately glance, okay, that's a losing record. But my point was, from where you came, you only lost 6 of 15. Mm-hmm. Because there's 5 ties there.
Yeah.
Is that kissing up, or is that real?
It's a valid point, but we're definitely not happy with what happened last year. We lost 6 games and we won 4, and it was a losing season, and we didn't position ourselves. We started off last season, I think it was 4-1-3. We only had 1 loss, and we positioned ourselves really well. Won our first conference game, and then we didn't win a game for the last 6 or 7 games. So the guys are well aware of what can be achieved when our minds are in the right place, and when the adversity hits, and when we get a proper punch in the mouth this year, we've just got to be able to be a bit more resilient and a bit more consistent. And I think if we do that, we'll be able to turn that around a little bit. But yeah, it was definitely progress overall last year, but we definitely had a better taste in our mouth from how the season ended.
That's part of the psychology of coaching, right? You don't want to ever have them feel like that's okay to have a losing record, although, to your point, look at what it was.
100%. And we had to celebrate the small victories at the end of the year with the guys and get them in the right frame of mind. Like we did accomplish quite a bit last year in terms of progress, but that's not where we want to be. We want to be somewhere else with it, so...
All right, David Lilly, our guest. So tell me, not that you have a cookie cutter idea of a recruit, but you've got to have a certain guy or mindset or whatever you're looking for in a recruit. Tell me what that is.
I think the longer, maybe early on in my career, you were always looking for, man, where's the best player? Where's the best player
talent,
you can
right?
find? Yeah, where's the best talent you can find? But the longer I'm in it, the mentality is such a big piece of it. And no more so than when you're trying to get the mentality stronger within the group. Because there's no doubt we've got some talented kids on the team. And I think the biggest step forward we can take this year, and it was evident in the game last night in preseason, that the mentality needs to take a big step forward. So just the personality of knowing that when it gets difficult, and it's going to get difficult, we're in a tough conference, we try and play against the best teams that we possibly can. And when it gets difficult, we've got to be able to step up. Talent's not enough to step up. You've got to have something more in you. There's got to be something else in you that can drive you forward in those moments. And so when we're recruiting, we obviously need a good player.
Yeah.
And we need a certain level of athleticism to play in the conference and the teams we play against. And tactically, got to have a decent understanding as well, because we do demand a lot of them tactically. But the mental piece is massive for us now.
So what is an identifier you might look for? So you're saying a winner. I want a guy that's got the talent and tactical skills, but that winning mentality. So how do you hone in to identify that in a recruiting process?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Is it toughness? Is it...
Yeah, it's toughness. Like you're watching what they're doing, obviously, when they're in and around the ball, and you're obviously looking at identifiers close to the ball, but you're also looking to see what happens when you don't have the ball. We expect a lot of our guys out of possession. We want to be very driven, want to be attack-minded with and without the ball, but we also want them to be ambitious, want to press the game. We want to make teams uncomfortable when we're broke down. We want them getting behind the ball. We expect a lot of them. And that doesn't happen if you've got a weak mentality. So we're just always on the lookout for individuals that will add that to us as a minimum.
Sometimes, and this may not be the case for you, but sometimes it just dawned on me that a coach comes into a sport, and sometimes soccer, and they have the opposite personality of maybe what they were as a player. Like, I know the Oak Mountain coach that won 64 games in a row. He was a goalkeeper, but his mentality was attack, attack, attack offensively. And I'm like, that's because you probably would have hated that as a goalkeeper. So if you know what I'm asking there, is that the same for you?
I don't know.
Or is there more commonalities from what you were as a player?
I think it's fairly balanced, honestly. I was a kind of in-between midfielder. I like to share the responsibilities of defending and attacking.
Okay.
And I like to get behind the ball. And I wasn't unbelievably talented as a player, but I worked very, very hard. And I think that's some of the principles that we ask our guys to do. We want to be excellent defensively. We want to be excellent going forward, and we want to be the hardest working team that anyone plays against.
You don't want them to mentally say, "I'm just an offensive guy."
No.
You know.
And maybe players lean more on the offensive side, and it's your job to tweak it a little bit. And maybe lean on more on the defensive side.
Right.
That certainly happens. It's never the case where you get someone that's the total package and it's 50-50 and everything's perfect, but I think if you've got those underlying principles with the personality, then you can typically, and they're coachable, you can typically work with them.
So when you won last year at 4-6-5, what went right? If there was a commonality, I know every game is different. But.
Well, we started off the season against Chapel Hill, and we lost that game 1-0, and there's some games where you might lose the game, but you feel like you've took a big step forward. And we left that game obviously disappointed with the result, but knowing that that was a huge step forward in what I was just talking about with our mentality. Like, we controlled parts of the game on the ball, and we made it difficult for them. We created chances, and that was a big boost for the guys going into the next games. I think we picked up our first win in a long time after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what a win can do for the confidence. So before you know it, the guys are starting to believe again, and we went on a good run of maybe 7 games undefeated. But then it comes back to, we got a punch in the mouth. How quickly can you recover from that? And we didn't recover last year. So that's the name of the game this year, is can't get too high when things are going well, and you can't get too low when you get that punch in the mouth. And we're just going to try and stay steady and as present as we can for each game.
Yeah, even keel. So tell us about this year's team. What do you see? What do you have? What do you like so far that you see? And maybe, okay, this area is a concern we got to get better at.
Yeah, I think we've taken a step up in probably each department, in terms of definitely very competitive for places right now. Goalkeeping positions has become very competitive. We've added throughout the lines, we've got a nice blend of returners, guys that have kind of seen how things operated last year. And you're going to speak to Ivan a little bit later, and he's a core piece of that. He's obviously bringing a lot of experience from where he's been, and he's a leader in the group. And then I think we've done a good job. Obviously, it's very early. We're only 6-7 days into preseason at this point now. But those guys that have come in, and you're looking to see how quickly they can adapt, and they've adapted fairly well so far. But 2 games in, and I think they're going to add up a few bits of experience, and some guys that are young and hungry but that have added a little bit of energy to the group as well. So the team right now is looking pretty good, but we're waiting for that punch in the mouth to see how we really do.
Yeah, you don't know, right?
Until
adversity hits.
Until the first game.
So Elon is the first game at home, and that's the 21st of September. Then Louisville.
Yeah.
After that. So tell me about the scheduling of those two.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was purpose to that.
Yeah, 21st of August. For Elon. And then I think it's the few days, 3-4 days later on that Monday, we play Louisville.
Yeah.
And obviously nice to open up at PNC here in Birmingham, and hoping to get a good atmosphere going for that. But 2 really tough games. I think Elon were, they're always trying to get in that national tournament, try to win their conference. I think they were in the top 60 RPI, so that we know they're very well coached, and they're going to bring a really good test to us. And obviously Louisville are a good ACC program. So it's a tough schedule. We've got a hard schedule. We also play Clemson and UNC again, and obviously our conference is very tough. So we've tried to position our guys to be tested. And be challenged and be put in difficult circumstances, because they're not going to avoid that when conference season starts. So let's learn all our lessons and let's see if we can, it shakes out for the conference.
Finally, have you found a? I think Birmingham's a pretty good soccer community because there's a lot of transient here with the medical and the financial districts.
Yeah.
Have you found that? Obviously, you can always use more fans, but tell me what you've found here.
No, there's a big soccer community. It's kind of taken me back a little bit since we've been here. Obviously, you get involved in the community. There's some big clubs in the area who have lots of players on their teams, and there's a real thirst for soccer. In the area, obviously getting involved in the community and doing some projects, and you start to see that there's people excited about the sport. We've got the Birmingham Legion in town. It's an unbelievable thing to have right here on your doorstep, and we've got a good relationship with those guys. So the one thing we've definitely noticed since we got here is that there is a real strong soccer community in this area, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that was my final question. I lied. You can draw a little. Probably 50-100 mile radius and find great talent here.
Yeah, there is, and you'll see that on our squad. Like we've got some good local guys. Lucas Rizzo scored a great goal last night. Mm-hmm. We got Alan Melendez. Yeah, we got Caleb Jowers. We got a lot of guys. I won't be able to remember all the guys from Alabama, but we got a good blend of internationals, and we got some out-of-state kids, and we've got a core group of guys from Alabama who I think it's really important that. They're involved in the program. They're really passionate about representing the community and representing UAB, and they're desperate to get the program where it should be. And I think that's a really important thing for everyone.
Great stuff. David, thanks for hanging out with us today. We wish you great success this year.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
That's David Lilly on our Coach's Corner, brought to you again by Pepsi and Viva Health. We'll take a break and come back with more right here on the Inferno Podcast.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. Our Blazer of the Week is the midfielder for the men's soccer team, Yvan Jolivet from France. Yvan, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you coming over. Let's go with your background now, because you didn't just stay here and homegrown here, obviously, in Birmingham. You're from France. So let's start with that journey from France, kind of like David, your coach, was talking about. You play, and then you want to come to America to go to college. What's the thinking on that?
So I'm from Paris, France. Same as coach, like, when I was like 17, 18. Like, couldn't do both, like study and play. So I just chose to come to America to be able to do both. Came in 2021 to the University of Mobile.
Yeah.
Stayed 3 years there, graduated, and then came here.
Gotcha. So graduate student here, and already have a year under your belt here. We'll get into what you're studying in a moment. But Mobile was NAIA level, but really good soccer.
Yeah, we won 3 times the regular seasons, 2 times the tournament of the conference. We went to 2 national finals, 2021, 2022.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was good.
So used to winning.
Yeah.
So when David reaches out to you, was that part of it? Because besides talent, okay, this guy's used to winning.
Obviously, he coached in NAIA and he played too, so he knew the program. He knew my assistant coach there too, so that was like pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So what made you choose UAB? Because to your point, it's more than soccer. It's also curriculum and everything like that. So
one of the guys that played last year here, Chris McKenna, Scottish too, he played for Coach Lilly in ETSU. And before that, he played at Mobile too, so he knew him pretty well. So I just, like, when he reached out to me, asked him like, how it was and stuff. He said only good things, so I was like, yeah, I'm going to go there.
Okay, and you had other places you were considering, I'm sure, but
yeah,
just chose UAB,
yeah.
Which is strong. But last year, your first year in the program, so kind of talk a little bit about they hadn't won in almost 2 years, year and a half, whatever it was, and you've got to come in. What did you find as a player when you came in, as far as the culture and the locker room and your teammates?
So when I came, you know, you come to a losing program, like 0 wins the year before. So I thought, like, the level wasn't going to be that good. But when I came, like, most of the players are, like, really good players. I think that was just the confidence and all that.
Yeah.
After the first win, it went well. We lost, like, the second game of conference and lost, like, 6 in a row, which wasn't good. But, like, the beginning of the season was really good last year.
So what went right? Talk about from a player standpoint, the first part of the year.
I think we all bought in of like how our coach wanted us to play. Cohesion in the team, yeah, those type of stuff.
Yeah. And then you lose, and then maybe you lose another one mid-season, and you go on a losing streak. That can kind of snowball as well, as we say here in America. So what happened there where you couldn't just grab a win?
So we won against FAU the first game of conference, and then we went to Memphis where we lost like 2-0, but we felt like we played better than them and still lost the game. The game after that, we lost 3-2 to FIU, and same like 0-0 like 5 minutes before halftime, we conceded 3 in a row, came back in second half 3-2, and then it just went like down and down and down, tougher games. But didn't feel that we played that bad, though, during this streak. It's just the confidence that wasn't there.
Yeah, that closeness, right,
mm-hmm.
Of winning or losing.
Yeah.
Do you feel – tell me what you feel your responsibility is to this team as an older player, graduate student, and coming from a winning background. Is that part of it? Or?
So in my old school, that was the opposite. At Mobile, I was, like, the youngest.
Yeah.
Of course, I was a freshman and stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of trying to – help the freshmen, the sophomores, all the guys that comes in, because it's part of my role. I'm like 24 now, so
yeah, you're an old man.
Yeah.
Does David talk to you about that, saying we need that from?
Yeah.
Besides your play, we need.
But it's not only me though. It can be Alan Melendez too, for example. Matias Lovegrove, Gustavo Barbosa. We have a lot of seniors this year, way more than last year.
Yeah, that's good. So, what do you see in off-season workouts? We're very early in practice, obviously, but you got a game coming up, you know, very soon. So what do you see how the team's shaping up right now?
So we had a good spring. We went undefeated during the spring. So that was good, like, to have, like, some cohesion in the group.
Yeah.
Help with confidence, too. And I think, like, this preseason is more to help build that confidence again and go for the Elon game to win it.
Is your team more talented, do you think, this year than last year?
Yes, a bit, probably. We had, like, more than 10 recruits, so, yeah.
But they've got to mesh in.
Yeah.
So you've got to work on continuity and...
I feel like it's more competitive for its position, as Coach said. So we have, like, 2 goalkeepers that can start, like 4 or 5 players in the midfield, same in the back line, and same up front, probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So tell me what your thoughts are on the soccer community. I'm sure you get out and you see fans coming. And were you surprised to see Birmingham kind of be pretty good at soccer?
I think that's amazing here. You can, like, you have all the small clubs around, like, which is like Hoover and stuff. You also have like Legion around. So we go at almost every game of Legion when they play at home. And you get people coming for the games. You sign autographs, which I never did before, for example. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of the way it is back home, a little bit, right?
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Yeah, more of a celebrity a little bit. Your facilities are fantastic. You're probably surprised by that, too.
Yeah, that's the best stadium I've ever played in college soccer, I'm talking about.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't see better. We went to Louisville last year. I don't think there is better than here.
That's good. And that's something that UAB can hang their hat on.
This thing.
Because this is where the Legion, for folks not knowing, also plays a lot of games. They did. They're now Protective Stadium. But kind of cool to have a pro team around, too.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what you're going into. You said business. you weren't sure what facet. So obviously coming over here to play soccer and curriculum, they're equally important to you.
Yeah. So I came here mostly for soccer. I would lie if I said like,
yeah.
But like, I just wanted to have a degree or something to rely on if I don't go professional after and stuff. So I'm just like, I'm doing business because it's really wide. I can do it multiple stuff after. So yeah, basically, yeah.
So where's your thought process on the pro career deal
now? But now I'm getting old, so I graduate in December too. So like, probably try to find a job, like an OPT to stay here.
In Birmingham?
Yeah, in Birmingham, I think.
Wow, it's grabbed you.
Yeah.
What grabs you about it?
I like the area. I think it's great. There is like everything you can find here.
Yeah. All right. So that's pretty cool. So, but we just don't know what discipline yet. I don't want you to make a decision now. You got another year to enjoy, or at least a few months to enjoy your last year. So tell me about the conference. David talked about the American Conference being so fantastic. What do you see as a player?
Every game is tough. You play against teams like Charlotte, Missouri State, Memphis, which are like, we have like probably five or six teams that can be in the top 25 every year. So
wow.
It's really tough. Every
really
game.
Good. So it's probably the best of the American Conference, as far as nationally speaking, is the soccer landscape with so many teams in the top 25.
For the American, yeah, probably. It's like, for soccer, you have like the ACC that is like the best conference.
Yeah.
Probably Big Ten, and then we compete with Sunbelt, like probably.
I gotcha. Yeah. So you're a midfielder.
Yeah.
Tell us your responsibilities, what you think you're good at, and then, man, I need to get better at this part.
So you need to attack and to defend because you're in the midfield. I think I'm good at like, I'm good technically, so I can see the game before. I make good decisions on the pitch. I'm not the most athletic. I'm not that tall. I'm not that strong. So maybe I could like improve at that.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the mentality. I think that's the biggest part there. Help your teammates.
So you've got to see the game before it happens is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
To make up for, if you're not as quick, if you see it before it happens, you can be as quick.
Yeah,
basically,
exactly.
That kind of thing.
Exactly.
And know where a pass or defensive play is going to happen.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Talk a little bit about just the expectations after 4, 6, and 5. And again, you heard me talking to David, and it wasn't a kiss-up question, I promise, that you only lost 6 out of 15. You may not have won all those, but you only lost 6 out of 15. Is that the way that the team felt? Or is a tie
so
not good?
No, a tie is not good.
Okay.
Every time you step on the pitch, you want to win. I mean, it's like, it's the mentality of like the team that, we were not happy last year after this record. We expected to win way more than that.
Yeah. Well, I think you're expecting more this year too.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah. We try to compete for like any championships and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with UAB men's soccer. All right, you want to have a little fun?
Go on.
We do what we call the lightning round here, where we ask you kind of bizarre questions.
Okay.
They may be planned. They may come out of my distorted mind. So we'll start with that. My first question is, when you came to America, what food kind of grabbed you that surprised you? Like, man, I really like that. Was it fried chicken or what?
Crawfish. I went to Mobile, so yeah. I think that's like the best. That's the best food in the South. Yeah, it's classic.
And you've seen it though, right? When it's caught and you still put it in your mouth? And
Doesn't matter. Tastes good.
What do you like about it? The spice or?
The spice, like, the way they give you the food, it's in like a paper and stuff.
Yeah. So do you know, twist the head off and you do it that way?
Yeah.
Did that kind of freak you out the first time?
No. We did, like, we don't have crawfish, but we have like similar stuff back home.
So no big deal?
No.
Do you like it with etouffee? With a little rice and sauce?
Yeah, and corn too.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good. What food have you tried you thought, that's the worst tasting stuff I've ever had in my life?
I don't like catfish.
Really?
Yeah.
But you like crawfish?
Yeah. catfish.
No. Well, what is it about catfish?
I think that's the fact that it's like fried everything on top. I just don't like it.
You can get it blackened, you know, and grilled, but fried is...
I just had it fried. So.
Oh, well, you might need to try it something else. So what do you like to do? We talked about school soccer. You got to have that outlet where there's neither that's good. You enjoy. I got to do this to get away from soccer side and the school side. Maybe a hobby or whatever.
Yeah, I just like to hang out with, my friends, which here are, my teammates mostly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Playing video games? You talking?
What play cards.
Cards?
Play cards a lot, yeah.
All right, so what's your game?
Yeah. Play poker.
Poker?
Yeah.
Wow. Is there a little money involved?
No.
I'm still a student, right?
Yeah.
So you guys like to play poker?
That's yeah, cool. Yeah.
All right, so what is the best, and this is going to be a different answer that we normally get from guys, the best sports venue you've ever been to in your life? It might be
in
back home.
Life.
It might be here, you know, a stadium or something that was kind of wow. It was World Cup. I don't know.
Yeah, I played in the PSG Stadium. So, that's the Parc des Princes, that's named. Like. That's mm-hmm. like a beautiful place. Like. I went where else? Like. I went to the Stade de France, which is like the biggest stadium in France, like 80,000 yeah. places. I was ball boy for the Euros.
Really? Okay.
When was that, 16? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about, did you ever go to the French Open? Were you ever at Tour de France when it came through, you know?
Like the French Open, I live 5 minutes from there, back home, literally.
Wow.
So yeah, I've been multiple times.
So that's no big deal.
No, I mean, yeah, that's amazing to go, though.
Yeah.
That's always a big thing.
Yeah.
Tour de France, yeah, I've been two or three times, too. Yeah.
I got you. Do you have a idol or a sports figure that you... is it Messi or...
No, not Messi. We have, our best player in France is Zinedine Zidane. But then, I'd say probably
And he still plays?
No.
He's a legend. Okay.
So now he's a coach,
Coach, okay.
He stopped coaching 2 years ago, I think.
Okay. But that's who you would say is your idol there. When's the last time you've been home?
2 years ago now. 2 years. That was December.
You got brothers, sisters?
No, I do not. I do not, yeah.
Okay. But you got family back.
Yeah.
Will they come? This is your last time around.
I was supposed to graduate in May, so they came end of April and beginning of May, my parents, just to that. But I didn't graduate because I had one more semester of eligibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was great to see them, though.
Will they? Can they make it to a game before you?
They made it. I played the summer, too, in Dothan, Alabama, so they watched the game there.
Oh, they came. Yeah. All right, so that's good. That had to be a thrill for you.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
What did they think of the food?
Did
you tell them what to order?
They're a bit picky, so they didn't like the food that much, but
they're not used to it.
No, exactly.
At all. All right, thanks for playing the lightning round with us. We don't have any parting gifts for you, unfortunately, but but we appreciate you hanging out with us. Good luck this year. I think you guys are going to be good. I know the goal got to be just a winning record, right? And do as best as you can in the conference.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good stuff. Ivan Jolove, midfielder, and you're just an outstanding guy, so we appreciate it, and we look forward to watching you play.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Jolove there from Francais. We'll come back and have more of the Inferno podcast in a moment.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Griffin. Let's take a look at the schedule for Blazer Nation this week. Women's soccer has already started with a home game, but now they got to live out of a suitcase a couple of games. And they will start against East Tennessee State. That's August 17th, a 1 o'clock kick for that. Men's soccer with their first home opener, August 21st at 7 o'clock at PNC Field. They'll take on Elon, who's always a strong top 60 RPI kind of soccer program. Women's soccer again on the road, same day, same time, but in Oxford, Mississippi, taking on Ole Miss, obviously. And then finally, volleyball's at Alabama State on August 22nd. They don't have a time for that one yet, but you can check your listings to see when that is. Men's soccer will have another game afterwards, another home game, as they start the season with two home games. That'll be against Louisville August 25th if you want to make advanced plans on that. But that's a look at the action for Blazer Nation on the scheduling. And that'll wrap up the Inferno Podcast, season two episode. And we appreciate you watching. Be sure you spread the word, like and subscribe, and be sure you get those notifications and that ringing of the bell to make sure you don't miss the Inferno Podcast. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.